Just a couple announcements before we begin regarding our worship service. Prayers for Jenny Haycock. She's under the weather this morning. And filling in is Linda Ruhrman. So we have a couple modifications. When we get to the Holy Holy, we will be speaking that. And we'll be skipping the canonical departure that's listed in the liturgy. Everything else, I'm sure we will do flawlessly. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. The Lord have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God of peace, you brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. By the blood of your eternal covenant, make us complete in everything good that we may do your will, and work among us all that is well-pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known through Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. A reading from Revelation. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How is Jesus at the center of your life? Why is Jesus the center of your life? Once again, in Revelation, we're offered an image of worship with the Lamb at the center. In this book of Revelation, we get a vision of practices, images, worship, and economics that are in contrast with Caesar's empire. When understanding this world behind the text, the context in which Revelation is written in, we can appreciate the vision of humanity grounded in that image of the Lamb who was slain, and how that now becomes for us anti-empire. Revelation points us to a future of radical inclusion. That is the kingdom that is and that is to come. We heard in our second lesson, after this I looked and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. We are a universal church that includes all people from all nations. A Christianity that embraces nationalism, as we've seen expressions even here in our own country, is contrary to the vision that we have in Revelation and throughout the New Testament, including the commissioning that Jesus gives his own disciples to make disciples of all nations. Nationalism wants to build an earthly empire, but the way of the Lamb and that kingdom that is to come is not of this world. The community formed by the Lamb who was slain, Jesus Christ, is a community with no borders or barriers. We must always remember and proclaim that God is love. Love brings people together. Hate divides. The empires of this world need a scapegoat. The empires of this world must make it about us versus them. We see a lot of that in our world today. And division enables them to divide and conquer. That's the strategy, divide and conquer. While Jesus brings us together through love, not division. And it is sacrificial love, exemplified on the cross through a ministry of radical inclusion. Christ shows us the way of peace in a world filled with violence. We heard in our second lesson, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Another image of worship with the Lamb at the center. How is Jesus the center of your life? And why is Jesus the center of your life? Certainly on this side of heaven, it is hard to keep Jesus at the center of our lives. And I put myself first and foremost in that category. It is hard. It is an image of worship that we get here in Revelation that's beautiful, but it's certainly not easy to live into. In our sin and brokenness, we aren't always following the way of Jesus. We're not always hearing the voice of our shepherd. Quite frankly, we most certainly are listening to the voices of the empire. We're listening to the voices of empty promises from a broken world. And then we get that idea that it's dependent upon what we do that makes us right with God. contingent on having it all figured out in order to make it right with God. But Jesus does not become the center of our lives because of what we do. It's because what Jesus has done. That's why Jesus is the center. The reason we have the image of the Lamb in Revelation at the center of worship is because of what the Lamb has accomplished, not because of what you and I have accomplished. We must hear the voice of Jesus, trusting the words of Jesus as opposed to the words of this world. What are we hearing? Who are we following? And then what becomes the center of our lives? Do we hear those words? Not on what we need to do, but what God has already done for us. And how we belong to God because of what Jesus has done. The shepherd that has laid down his life for his sheep. The one who becomes a sacrificial lamb for the sake of the world, as we hear in Revelation, that lamb has become our shepherd. We hear the voice of Jesus whenever we gather here for worship around Word and Sacrament. Are we hearing that voice? That's why it's so important to reflect on the book of Revelation. For in Word and Sacrament, we hear that voice most clearly when we worship. Again, not by anything we have done, but by what God has done and is doing for us. Do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd when it is announced that your sins are forgiven? Do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd when the Scriptures are read? Do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd when the gospel is proclaimed? Do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd when you come to the altar to receive the true body and blood of our Lord, given for you, shed for you, not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done, because Jesus wants us to be in full communion with the living God? All of us, I think, are burdened by wanting to, or feeling to fit or hit a certain standard in order to be accepted in this world, in order to belong. I've said it over and over. Right now in confirmation, we have three young ladies, and I think young girls and women in particular have it even harder at times to try to meet a standard in order to be accepted in our society. But then when we were talking about the sacrament in confirmation class not too long ago, when they come and receive Holy Communion, it's just as I am. There isn't a standard you have to hit with God. God comes to us and loves you for all that God made you to be, not by what you do or offer to this world, but you, created in our Lord's image and likeness, you, baptized through those waters of holy baptism and being a beloved child of God now and forever, you, for you, beloved child of God, it is given for you and shed for you. I love you regardless is what Jesus says to us when we gather for that meal. I love you regardless. It is for your forgiveness and for your life. Come to this meal that is a foretaste of the feast to come. And in our hearing the voice of Jesus, we experience rest, love, and salvation. The center of our lives must be centered on the one who first loved us. It must be the voice of that one. Otherwise, another voice will take hold. And even our own voices will certainly lead us astray. The voice of the shepherd calls us into a new and diverse community and a new way of life. So it is not our status in the world. It's not about how we feel. It's not about having a right experience. It's not being completely free from doubt. We belong because of the grace, mercy, and forgiveness of God. And in awe of all of that, we are called to respond and share what we have received with the world. For God uses us as instruments. For as the body of Christ, we can also voice God's love and promises for this world, that others could hear the voice of the Good Shepherd through us and be assured of life, new life, in a loving God that will never let them go. The voice of the shepherd draws us into the worship of the Lamb. They are one and the same. We are shown by Jesus a new way of being human. And we can take comfort that our Lord's kingdom is not of this world. When we experience a worship with Jesus at the center, we then enter the world not as hostile combatants, but as sheep following the one who first loved us. And we share and unleash that love with the world. That as heaven breaks through here in our worship, right here on earth, gathered around word and sacrament, heaven is breaking through. We are filled with the voice of our good shepherd. And our Lord sends us out to offer our lives in service, filled with that voice, to care for all that God cares about, which is all of God's creation. It is moving to hear that the last couple verses in our reading from Revelation today. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them by day, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more hunger, no more thirst, tears wiped away. As followers of the Lamb, our good shepherd, we know that that vision will someday be a reality, right? We know that that will someday be a reality, but we also know that we can experience and do experience that right now. Right now. And so our life of ministry is to fill and feed the hungry, to quench the thirst of those who are thirsting, and to wipe away the tears of those who are weeping. We do that right now. Because Jesus is at the center of our lives and the life of the church. God's unconditional love and grace, assurance of our belonging. Psalm 23, you've heard me say this before. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. That's not just when we die. That's a life right now. When the Lord is my shepherd right now, I want nothing. I don't need anything. I have what I need. We know what will be, but in the meantime, with the Lamb at the center of our lives and in the lives of the church, we will feed and quench and wipe away those tears of all who are suffering in the world and voicing the promises of what we have heard and filled with from our loving God who abides with us now and forever. Right here, we experience heaven on earth. Let's bring heaven out there to the rest of the world. By voicing the love and promises of Jesus and embodying that love in all those that we're called to serve in our world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world.
Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to the Lord of resurrection for the church, people in need, and all of creation. Gentle Shepherd, enable your church to respond to the voice of Jesus. Give us unfailing trust, unafraid to join in Jesus' work of renewing all things. God, in your mercy, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, our Stevens ministry, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God, in your mercy, feed your people at the table of creation. Prepare a safe place for those whose environments are dangerous or unhealthy, especially those making difficult journeys. Prosper your creation for the sake of every living thing. God, in your mercy, warm the hearts of all who celebrate and all who mourn on Mother's Day. Accompany those yearning to be mothers. Help us to heal from broken family relationships and open to receive your nurturing love from all who serve mothering roles in our lives. God, in your mercy, seek out those who weep while they await healing or consolation, especially Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Dave, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Pete, Nadine, Cheryl, Barb, Sadie, Lucas, Ruth, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, and our homebound. Set people in their path who can provide the care they need and wipe away every tear from their eyes. God, in your mercy, inspire the words of prophets and saints who employ innovative imagery to stretch our understanding, as did Julian of Norwich, whom we commemorate today. Send Christ to instruct us with motherly care. God, in your mercy, Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade, Michael, and Luke, and their chaplains. God, in your mercy, enfold us in the great multitude of saints from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Wash us in your saving grace every day, guiding us to your waters of life. God, in your mercy.
In your mercy, O God, respond to these prayers and renew us by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Holy One, Mighty One, Merciful One, we give you thanks, for you are the one who brings life out of death. In the beginning, when there was nothing, you spoke, and the whole universe came into being. You quieted chaos and pierced the darkness with your life-giving light. When the waves of wickedness threatened to drown your world, you sent the flood to destroy sin and save your good creation. When your people cried out to you from the depths of slavery in Egypt, you gave us a meal and set us free. When we were dry bones in a valley, you sent your life-giving spirit to raise us up and to put a new heart and spirit in us. And in these last days, you have given us Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who willingly gave his life on the cross to show us the fullness of your love, and who rose from the grave, destroying the power of death. And now you invite us to this feast of your victory over the grave. In a night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection, upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we might receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, both now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. This time I'd like to call forward those who are helping with the distribution of communion and for anybody who's participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side only. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. rise. You have been, who have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, go tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.